ladies and gentlemen, because there's one of you, singular. Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast, where we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind with red lips, no denim jumpers, although, ladies.
Oh, no.
I know. This is going to divide some of us, but I feel like I need to be honest with you about this.
Oh, boy.
I ordered myself a pair of denim overalls, which, yes, I did wear in the 90s, if you're wondering. And yes, I am planning to wear them because my garden sort of uniform right now is my coveralls, but it's getting too hot. So I needed something I could throw on over my clothes when I go out to do stuff like milk, so I don't get my actual clothes dirty. So I can take off my skirt, throw on my overalls, go do my chores, come back in, put the skirt back on. I know.
Fair enough, question mark.
She should see her face. She looks disgusted with me.
Oh, yeah. I am just... yeah.
Fine.
I know.
I don't need your approval.
I know they look cute, but I would look like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
I'm sure you would look beautiful. Nice, like, white tank top underneath, cute little hair, cool sunglasses. No? All right. Well, here we are. You're always the more fashionable one. I'm just going to be slopping around in the denim world for a while. I am your host, Shay Elliott of the Elliott Homestead. And I'm joined by Angela Reed of Parisian Farm Girl. And we are the hosts of Homemaker Chic Podcast. And we're glad that you're here. This is actually a number one rated home and garden podcast. And we are speaking to all the homemakers out there, whether you're in an apartment by yourself, just dreaming of the day when you can put some herbs out on your balcony or go to the farmer's market, or you're homeschooling 17 children at your kitchen table. Whatever.
Whatever.
We're here for all of you. And ultimately, we want you to fall in love with being a homemaker and with the beautiful work that we have been called to in our homes. And today we're going to deep dive into really practical things that you can implement today, like this weekend, right now in your home to help sort of restore some of that joy and some of that momentum and some of that beauty.
Yes. Because
yes,
just a little, it's a big job. It's an overwhelming job. And so when you look at like the whole scope of it, mm-hmm. you just got to get laser focused on a few things to put a little perk mm-hmm. in your step. That's mm-hmm. what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. I do think that homemaking can be a little bit like the debt payoff with Dave Ramsey, which I know we've talked about before, but like
for sure.
those little bits of momentum forward, the little bits of effort, they kind of build to the point where you can exert some bigger effort onto some bigger things because you're got momentum in the right direction.
Yeah. It's momentum and habits. It's
habits.
Creates habits. When you just keep doing the little things, then all of a sudden you're the person that does the little things. And mm-hmm. and then, you know, you get down the road, you're 6 months into that or 4 months into that or whatever. And you're a little bit more organized. Your, mm-hmm. your floors are a little cleaner or whatever. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. As a special treat for our patrons, what we're going to do is we're going to take this list and we have a beautiful printable for you over at patreon.com/homemakerschicpodcast. And this is for all the patrons, whether you are a full-blown fangirl or a homemaker chic. You know, we have a couple tiers, so it's for everybody. And Ami Lee made that. It's actually really pretty. And so you'll be able to print that up and put it on your bathroom mirror or mm-hmm. magnet it to your fridge mm-hmm. and chip away at it with us. So mm-hmm. you can visit patreon.com/homemakerschicpodcast and pick which level. For our fangirls, you get to have exclusive access to the video version of the show. And that's lots of fun. So you'll be mm-hmm. able to see Shay in her sexy overalls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm wearing them.
Okay.
You know I'm wearing them. All right. Before we dive into those 10 things, let's... words. We have this joke in our... we have this joke in our family where, you know, when you have a bunch of kids and like you never get the name right, you're just like, yeah. hey, oh. that kid, do that thing.
Okay. Like, I do know that. And I hurt my children's feelings a lot because I'm the idiot that I have three. We say I have three Jews. I have Julian, Juliet, and Junior. Look, I had to think about it just now. So I'm like, Julian. My grandma used to confuse her two sons with her two first male grandchildren. And she'd go, Ron, John, Ben, Nick. She'd just spit them all out. Yeah, it's really bad. In our house, and then we do when we're looking for words, like Ace Ventura, those old Ace Ventura
movies. Yes. Yep. That's what we do. We're just like, words. Words is right. Okay. Today's episode of Homemaker Chic Podcast is brought to you by my Elliott Homestead cooking community. I actually just got off my cooking community call, which is an hour long Q&A hangout session that we do with all the members, whoever wants to join on Zoom every month. And it was so fun. And their encouragement to me was like, hey, Shay, like you're getting us in the kitchen. And that's the whole point of the cooking community, to inspire you. So here's how it works. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com and choose what membership level works for you. Some members choose just a digital access membership where they get access to all the recipes online digitally. And some choose a physical shipping membership, which means that every month I actually send you recipe cards in the mail, like tangible. They're really beautiful, printed really nicely, that you can keep in your kitchen that way. But either way, the idea is to get new recipes in your hands every month. And then I'm going to do an hour long cooking instructional video where I cook through all the recipes for you so that you can learn new techniques and see how it works in my kitchen and ultimately implement that into your kitchen so that you can find joy and inspiration in the kitchen once again. I think one of the hardest things that we're called to do as homemakers is to cook. Actually, my friend Amber sent me a meme that's like, I missed the memo where I'm in charge of everyone's meals until I die.
Seriously.
I thought that's so spot on.
It is so spot on. It is huge. It could be the only thing you do.
Yep. It really could. It's a huge, huge ask. And I think, you know, anything that makes that process easier is always welcomed in the home. So visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com. You have an opportunity right now, actually, to still get in on April's recipes. You get the whole archive of all the recipes that we've done for 2021 so far. And then you'll be all set up for May. And May is really fun because it was completely inspired by our trip to New Orleans together. So
I saw your tag on Instagram.
Yeah.
I reposted that. That was fun.
It's a really, really good one. So I'm excited about May, and my cooking community members, actually, they all kind of voted and we set our trajectory for the next few months. So they get to weigh in on what they want to see me create. So it's going to be really fun. So shall we cue the wine music and get to it then?
We shall, because
okay,
a little glass of wine on the counter helps with some inspiration every evening as well.
This is the part of the podcast sponsored by our beloved Dry Farm Wines. I actually saw this advertised, and I do not advocate for being overzealous with your wine drinking, but somebody posted this recently as like their non-hangover wine. And I think that's true because I used to get like that kind of headachey feeling after just one glass of commercial wine. And the reason is because they fill it with all kinds of sugar and all kinds of yeasts and all kinds of additives and all kinds of fake flavors so that it's super consistent on the grocery store shelf. The problem with that is that when you're taking that in, your body pays a price. And that's not what we're about here at Homemaker Chic. This is Homemaker Chic, ladies and gentlemen. So as of tomorrow, April 16th, that's when you can get in on Dry Farm's new Rosé bundle. So if you are a Dry Farm Wines customer, you can go and you can do a one-time rosé order where you can get 3 or 6 bottles of beautiful spring-inspired rosé wines. These are special ones that you won't see really any other time. So you can just add that on if you're a member as a one-time purchase from Dry Farms, or if you're wanting to give Dry Farm Wines a try. This is a really good way to dip your toe into the natural wine world. Send yourself a box of 3 wines and they'll include an extra one in that. or send yourself a box of 6 rosés. You can do it just one time and they'll also send you an extra bottle with that. But you have to make sure that you use our link for that. So dryfarmwines.com/homemakerschicrosé. That's where you can sort it out for yourself.
Is going to work as of tomorrow. Because we had, so friends, for our patrons, we also have a Discord server. So there's hundreds of homemakers hanging out over on Discord. You can join them. And someone over on Discord the other day was like, the link isn't working.
Mm-hmm. It's live tomorrow. But this is like a first come, first serve kind of a thing. So
they do sell out. Sometimes I miss their specials. Mm-hmm.
I know. Yeah. So you got to get in on it Friday. It'll be live Friday or midnight tonight, really. dryfarmwines.com/homemakerschicrosé if you want to get in on that rosé special. And if you're a brand new customer, you'll get an extra bottle with your first order. So that's really, really fun. And I love the promotions that they do. They recently did one with Cab Francs, I think, like 100% pure Cab Franc, or I can't remember. It was something like that. So I keep those as like my special bottles. I stash those away for anniversaries or birthdays. And it does feel so chic to have something special and beautiful to pull out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the whole experience with Dry Farm is chic. Mm-hmm. Just unboxing it, it makes mm-hmm. me so happy. It's beautiful. Yeah. The literature, the stickers.
Yep.
Sometimes there's treats in there. Oh, man. Yep. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. So what I have a wine. I've had one bottle of this before, and I have this one ready to chill for dinner tonight. So this is an Italian white. Go figure. Shay likes an Italian white. Mm-hmm. Here's the bottle. It's called Luminoso. Vermentino. Marama Toscana.
Perfect.
I'm so good at this job.
You are.
So that's pretty much all I know about it, but I will tell you how it tastes. It reminds me, there's something so springy about it because it reminds me of the taste of the smell of honey or beeswax. Mm-hmm. Oh. And so, it's really, really good. So I'm going to make this with a really nice, like white, risotto, you know, kind of like a Parmesan, my butter, herbs, that kind
children,
of thing.
Half of them have revolted against risotto.
Oh, get out of here, Reeds. You can't revolt against risotto. No.
No, it's the texture.
No, you don't understand. Like, we eat risotto. Mm-hmm.
This is a risotto eating family.
You like it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so annoying. Cause that was just like, okay, what am I going to do? All right, I always have chicken stock. I always have arbor rice. Okay. Risotto. Mm.
Yep.
Yeah. We're going to do scallops tonight.
Ooh.
That.
Yeah. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Italian whites were meant for seafood and risotto and pasta. Mm-hmm. This has this little saying at the front, and I kind of wonder. So if you see the label of this, it's a little bird looking over a vineyard, and it says, a thieving magpie in the lukewarm sunset seems to guard its treasure of golden grapes ripened in the oldest vineyard of our farm.
Thank you.
There we go. This wine comes from the oldest vineyard of Podere San Cristoforo, a small plot containing vines of various origins that are over 40 years old. These are mainly Vermentino, a variety that thrives under the influence of the wind and the sea.
Mm. So yes. Romantic.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
So that's what we will be sipping tonight.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But before we get to open a bottle and make our beautiful risotto, we have 10 things that we need to take care of. And I need you all to take note because I came up with this, a lot of these things, because I have to do them myself. Like now.
So yesterday.
So these aren't like, oh, see how organized I am. Y'all should be like this. This is like, I need to take care of this right now, Shay. Stop it. Stop doing this.
I hear people. Can you hear people?
Nope.
Good. Yeah. And that's, you know, a huge theme on the show. I hope you're getting it. Is that we're just talking to ourselves. Okay. There's no arrival in homemaking. seriously.
Nope.
It'll never be perfection. Nobody ever crosses the finish line.
Yep.
It's just about doing it well along the way. There's ups and downs. So we're here today to help you get maybe back on track.
Yep. Whenever we get one of those comments, just like, oh, these arrogant ladies, they're just telling us. I'm like, y'all don't actually listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Because if you did, you'd just hear us point the finger at ourselves over and over. So here's number one.
Okay.
And I'm actually looking at it with my own two eyes right now. Here's something that you can do right now to improve your home, how you feel about your home, the joy, the experience, all of it. Pay that stack of bills. You know, everyone has like a stack of something somewhere, things that need to be taken care of. Oh, I need to pay that bill. Oh, I need to write that thank you note. Oh, I need to send that thing in so I can renew the tabs on my trailer. Like, you know, these just stupid little things.
Stupid crap.
And you run through them.
Being a grown up.
Yes. 80 times in your head, you're like, oh, I need to do that. Oh, I need to do that. Oh, I need to get that electricity bill on automatic withdrawal. Like, I just need to do these things. I'm looking at my stack right now. And it's organized. It's a nice little stack, but I'm not taking care of it.
But it's not done. Okay. I did two things. I sent a thank you note written with my très chic pen.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So pretty. I can't say I'm very good at it yet.
Okay.
But it was lovely and the sound gave me the vapors. And I went to the bank and opened a check, bank account for a child.
Yes.
And another savings account for myself, like a boss.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
I don't know why that took my whole life to do, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just been on the list forever, but I did it. I did those two things. And now today, I have to make two dentist appointments.
Ooh. Yes. Those little things.
Yep.
Do you write yourself like little sticky notes and you're like, oh, I need to do this. And then you add it to your pile of crap you need to take care of?
No, I'm not going to violate myself that way.
See, well, that's what happens, though, is we hold it in our head and we expend so much energy thinking about it over and over and over again.
I should do that. Actually, I probably would like that because then I could just like rip it off. Like if I put
it's so satisfying
because I.
Yes.
Like if I make to-do lists and God forbid, I just scratch it out with a normal color. Like I will find a red Crayola under the kitchen table. And that is what I need to use to go like,
I did it now. Yep. I've told you about Julie. She was somebody that my mom used to work with and she would write the little things on sticky notes, like make a dentist appointment, pay the mortgage, whatever it is. And she would put them on her wall because they offended her so much because she was a very aesthetically driven person that she's like, I have to get that off my wall. But the only way to get it off and to see progress is to do it.
See, that is kind of sick and twisted in a fabulous way. I should do that because they would offend me. They would offend me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's number one, guys. Pay that stack of bills. Get it taken care of. Now, Angela and I have both been in the period of life in our past where bills were not coming out on automatic withdrawal because you didn't know if they were actually going to be able to pull it out.
No way.
So I understand that stage of life too. I understand being able to account for every cent that you spend and when you spend it and when the paycheck hits the bank account
finessing.
Yes. And there is definitely something to be said for that. And if you're there, then, you know, you're probably way more organized than I am with my bills at this point, because I used to have to be so diligent about it. And now I can afford to be a little bit more sloppy and be like, oh, I need to do this and I need to take care of this. Mm-hmm. If you're at the latter stage, then set up as much as you can on automatic withdrawal. Just set it up. Don't think about it. Because have you noticed, as I'm sure you've noticed, as you've gotten older, your kids get older, more happens. I seriously get fatigued from all the decisions I have to make. I think part of it's being an entrepreneur, part of it's being a farmer, part of it's being a gardener, part of it's being a homeschooling mom.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's like, can I play this game? It's like, I honestly, like, I don't know. And I have to run through 18 things. Is your laundry done?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, is your room clean? Yeah. Do we need to change your sheets? Like, have you done all these things? Have you done your assignment? But, you know, and
I love it because they know that I'm They love it. They're like, ooh, mom's overwhelmed today. What can we
squeeze out of her?
I go to tuck them in at night and I'm like, this is what your room has looked like all day. You went to friend's house, you played in the woods.
Yep.
Hey, remember that like thing we do as a family? Fun after responsibility?
Yep. Yep. They take advantage of it. They will take advantage of you at every turn. Just prepare yourself.
Yeah.
So I was actually talking to our financial advisor because we had a meeting with him this week. And he was just saying, he was reminding me like, look, anything that you can take off is one less thing, even if it's a small thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like I log in every month to pay our mortgage and I think about it probably 3 or 4 times before I actually do it. He's like, you can just set it up and you don't have to think about it.
That'd be great.
So numero uno.
Okay.
Take care of that
number
stack.
Two, and I have a confession to make about this one, but like number two is clean out your junk drawer.
Gosh, you should see my drunk. You should see my junk
drawer. Drunk drawer.
My drunk drawer.
Clean out your drunk drawer.
Clean it out.
Yeah. Ours, it's, I don't know. I think it's pretty set in its ways. Like it's, there's a constant undoing. And there's like actually 3 of them. I find that the top drawers become the drunk drawers.
Junk drawers.
It's like, I know I did it on purpose. It's Sharpies. It's pencils. It's miscellaneous keys.
Command strips.
What are those?
Command strips.
A whole new world.
There are things you can hang stuff with that doesn't put holes in your walls.
I've never bought one of those. I think we talked about this like last year.
Oh my gosh.
Are they like the
Well, it must be because your house doesn't have plaster walls, because putting holes in plaster walls is awful.
But we have the skip trowel, so it's thick.
Yeah, no, command strips. You guys, command strips.
Okay.
Command.
I had a sticky note.
Rips.
Let me get my feather pen.
It's one of those things I throw in my cart every time I go to our hardware store. I'm like, just get some more command strips. And they have them for different weights. So small ones for like small little pictures and big ones.
Writing this. Yep. So beautiful.
Well, that's what ends up in my junk drawer is a bunch of that kind of stuff.
Oh, I've got. Okay. So I have nails, like little brads and nails.
Yeah. Yep.
And then. Okay.
A checkbook.
Checkbook. I don't keep a checkbook, but here's my family's problem. I'm going to throw my family under the bus. Band-Aid wrappers. What the hell is Band-Aid wrappers? Band-Aid wrappers. That's what they do. I know you don't believe in Band-Aids. You just make your kids bleed.
No.
For me, it shuts them up. It makes them stop crying. But they take the Band-Aid and so they're like in the oil drawer. So I have all my essential oils in a top drawer and like Band-Aids and ibuprofen. And they open them up right there, even grown people, and they leave the wrappers in the drawer.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I can't even talk. It makes me so crazy. It makes me so crazy. I can't take it.
I'm sorry that you have to endure that hardship. It's hard. We actually had a Natalie over last week for dinner, and Nora got a little, their daughter, she got a little cut on her finger, and she looks at me and she's like, maybe Mrs. Elliott finally has some Band-Aids. And I said, I do. I bought them just for your children. They're in the top. And this is actually one of those habit things, because we were sitting around eating dinner and Nora came in, Natalie was tending to her. And I said, yeah, it's in the top. You'll see a little medicine thing at the very top shelf in the hall closet. Y'all, the hall closet was clean because of my habits and my label maker. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, you can open that up and I won't die 1,000 small homemaker deaths of shame. It was amazing.
I love that.
I know. I have been a freak about it because it's those habits. It's the kid who doesn't put the towel where the little towel label is. And I know that sounds kind of nitpicky and arbitrary, but it's not. It's not in the flow of the home. And hey, I need something. Where is it?
And helping them create cabinets. I mean,
totally. And totally.
So someday when they have a home, like, they'll know because you trained them. Okay. Washcloths go in one pile, towels go in another, you know,
exactly.
Because not everybody does that. I mean, you've been to people's homes and you open their hall cabinet and it is not good.
Yep. Yep. So here's out at you and, here's kind of my method for the junk drawer thing. Like my plan to do when I do mine is to keep the few things that you know you're going to need. Like I do keep command strips. I do keep some brad nails. I do keep a phone charger. Like there are a few things that they need a home. They need to have a place. Thank you. The rest I'm going to dump into a giant Ziploc bag. And I'm going to go hide it somewhere up in Stu's shop. And if we ever need anything from there, that key that we just couldn't live without, like we'll know where to find it, but it doesn't have to live in my world.
Cleaning out your estate.
You're going to find
5 Ziploc bags
once a year. Just dump it all into a Ziploc.
That is so
move funny. It along.
See, my thing is I have like the acrylic organizers and certain people don't put things back in the labeled acrylic organizer. And that's when the drawer gets trashed. I just give my whatever kid, because I have some kids that really like to organize and I do too, but I'm busy. So I'm like, who wants $5 to clean up the junk drawers?
Ooh, good idea.
I pay
they well.
Love it.
That's a great idea.
Yep.
I think junk drawers are ultimately one of those habits. My financial advisor also encouraged me. He's like, look, the chaos is inevitable. So I was talking about to him specifically about having to budget for a home and also budget for a business. And the business has so many transactions going on all the time. It's very complicated.
It is.
And when I was a newlywed, and just had a job, like you knew how much you were going to get paid. You knew when it hit the bank account. And I could tell you exactly what money I spent on what day, how much, like what check number it was, all these things. And he encouraged me like, look, you're not at that stage of life anymore. The chaos is inevitable. So like, take care of the things that you know you can take care of so that you're prepared for the chaos. And I think it might sound silly, choose your hard. I think the junk drawer is kind of one of those things like, that is part of having a family. You're going to have a junk drawer. Okay. So what do? We just every once in a while, maybe every couple of weeks when we're polishing our copper or we're sweeping our floor, we just take a little account of the junk drawer. We straighten up a few things. We throw a few things away. We move a few things to the office.
Yep.
Exactly. So like don't feel like you need to conquer it or master it. Just stay on top of it.
Right.
Talking to myself here.
Yep.
Here's another one that I thought of this morning when I was working. Unsubscribe.
And after I read this, they're bad.
Unsubscribe from pesky emails. I got an email this morning from shoes.com. I've never bought anything from shoes.com. No idea. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we all do this. I hate creating accounts when you want to check out and they're like, create an account so you can finish your purchase. I'm like, I don't want to because I know you're just going to send me emails and I don't want them. Mm-hmm. So as you're going through and you're cleaning through your inbox, sorting things out, just take 12 extra seconds per email and hit the unsubscribe button. Unless, of course, it's mine or Angela's newsletters.
I was just going to say, like, choose wisely.
But we try to make them valuable. And you know what? They are also not for everybody at this stage of life.
Right.
I subscribed to a bunch of newsletters back in the day that I don't find the same amount of value in anymore.
Right.
I don't open them. If I don't open them, I need to be unsubscribed from them. If I open them, peek around, maybe take a little thing here or there, then I'm fine. I'm fine with newsletters.
5. And I'm like, what are these?
Yeah.
What are you attacking me? You're attacking me. Stop attacking my brain.
It's like a personal violation. Yeah. I have one like that. It was armored animal health that I unsubscribed from this morning. And it was from when I ordered a cow sling, when my cow 6 years ago went down with mastitis or ketosis or whatever, blah, blah. And we needed a sling to put her in. So I ordered it from this company and they've been sending the emails for 6 years and I've never opened one.
Wow.
You know, even if you unsubscribe from one, it still feels like, hey, I did something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did something.
Do one a day.
Yeah.
A week.
Exactly. Take the time.
Okay. Speaking of savings accounts, this next one is, it's so easy and you can do it so simply, is to start saving money. Whether it's the quarters that are in the console of your vehicle or the $100 that you can tack on as cash when you check out in the grocery lane, find it.
Yep.
Somewhere.
I was thinking of you actually with this one, because you should tell the story about how you took your first trip to Paris.
Oh, that's what I did. I, you know, Joel's like, look, if you can come up with the money, but like, that'll never happen. And I spent, I had a little white envelope, not even like a business size envelope, just the size that would hold bills, you know, cash. And I started saving. If I went to the grocery store, I'd get $5 cash back in the checkout lane or less cash received. This was a long time ago, obviously. I was making like deposits. Wherever I could scrape it off the top or at a garage sale or whatever. It took me a year to save $1,200 for the airfare. And I just had like a pen and I would write how much was in it. And then the next week, or the next day or whenever, when I would put more, I'd put a big line through that number and I'd put a fresh number. And by, I think I still have the envelope in a scrapbook. It's just covered in numbers and then the final amount. But it actually works. You actually can accumulate something. And I think a lot of times with saving, we're like, oh, well, I can't afford that. We look at it as we judge ourselves as to how much we can save or how much we can't save, when the fact is anything, any amount is saving money. So really, if you just get a few bucks out in the checkout lane, or I'm not kidding about just the money you see in your husband, you know, coins in your husband's pockets. If I turn Joel's jeans upside down, it just rains pocket knives and crumpled receipts and change, you know, and just start a ball jar on top of the fridge, start a white envelope. Go like I did last week to the bank and open a proper savings account. I just think it's really important to stop telling yourself. And again, I say this, like Shay said, having come from like all stages on the spectrum of what can and cannot be done financially, but don't believe that you can't do it, because it's there. Whether it's that maybe you need to stop going to the coffee shop once a week and spending $5 on a latte, it's there somewhere. You can extrapolate it from, you can get blood out of that turnip.
I was actually just thinking, you know, you could save the change from the pockets or from the junk drawer or the bottom of your purse. And that could be your savings to treat yourself to a latte once a week.
Right.
Because we've been at that stage of life too, where it's like $3, forget it.
No way.
There's no way. There's no way. I remember we lost our fingernail clippers at one point when we lived in Alabama, but I had a nail file and I was like, well, we now file our nails to cut them because I can't buy a new pair. Like this is where we're at. So, even if it is, I'm just going to save all the little bits here and there so that I can treat myself once a week without any guilt to do that. I think saving money is one of those things, especially for the homemaker though, it does feel like a secret weapon. Like, here's where my bank account is, but I've got $120 like stashed in my nightstand. And there's something very exciting about that, because it gives you possibilities as a homemaker. Like if you want new throw pillows for your couch, but they're not in the budget, well, you know, that's what you have your savings for. Or if something comes up, or, you know, it's just, it equips you for all kinds of different possibilities.
And again, back to Dave Ramsey, I love his having like, doesn't he have, aren't you supposed to like save $1,000?
But that's the very first thing you do.
Very first thing.
Before you pay off any debt is just save $1,000.
And I remember I used to listen to his podcast a lot just to stay motivated. And one of his listeners, maybe this was in the book, but they put their money in a, like just a cheap, you know, you get cheap frames from Hobby Lobby or whatever. They put it in a glass frame and then they hung it in the coat closet, like behind all the coats. So it wasn't visible for everyone. And it had a message on the paper over it, said, in case of emergency, break glass. like they taped it all in.
Mm-hmm.
So they would actually have to break the glass to get to it, which I thought
was
cute.
That's clever. Like that. Yeah. That's really fun. Well, we did that when we felt like it was impossible. I think we ended up getting like a tax return 1 year after we had a kid, you know? And so we got like the tax credit. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we built our $1,000 savings account. And I will tell you, like, it saved us so much money in overdraft fees, like times where I didn't manage things like I should have, or something came up and we needed $250 for this or that. It saved us so much. And most importantly, it saved us from putting stuff on a credit card, which, you know, then we weren't paying interest and we weren't paying annual fees and this and that. So there really is a lot of value in that. And you can start that today, like go write an envelope, savings, put $5 in it. You're done. You've already started. Yeah. So that's something you can do right now. Okay. We talked last week about letting things go when they no longer serve you, or being okay with looking at something and saying, you know what, I really appreciated this piece or this dress or this pillow or whatever it is for this stage of life. But like, I don't want to take it into the next one with me. I'm going a new direction. So something that you can do, homemakers, right now is to go grab a cardboard box or a garbage bag. Just walk through the rooms of your house. We know typically, if we're being honest, when we look at something like, do I want to take this into the next stage of life? Do I want to move forward with this thing? And I know this might sound a little silly. It could be something as simple as a throw blanket. I have a throw blanket in my living room right now. I bought it when I was 16 years old and I was working at the flower shop and we got these blankets in and I thought, oh my gosh, this is the prettiest throw blanket I've ever seen. It's, you know, 15 years old now. It's had its heyday and I need to just let it go. It does not need to come with me into the next stage of things. It's one of the simplest ways, because what happens is, I think subconsciously we see these things and they create this, just this teeniest little bit of tension in us. Like, oh, I need to patch that. Oh, I need to fix that. Or, oh, the legs on that are wobbly. And it can be so small that we don't really recognize it, but it's there and it will build up over time. And it starts to wear on you. And so I'm encouraging myself. I need to do this too. I think you called it editing, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Editing. Go through a room, edit out what no longer needs to be there, what could serve somebody else for the next season of its life, or, you know, trash it. Some stuff is just trash.
Right.
Right.
And it's sort of like you were saying about like decision making. It just gives you less to think about.
It's less to think about.
Yeah. Less filing cabinet drawers, yes, open in your brain, less tabs open. Yeah.
And you don't even realize they're open. But as you move through your space, the homemaker's mind is going, do this, do it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to walk downstairs to take like some laundry downstairs. You've walked by 10 things. Oh, I need to fix that piece of trim that I keep kicking up. You know, oh, look, the kids threw all the couch cushions on the floor. I need to put those up, you know? Mm-hmm. And so anything you can eliminate off that ticking list, I think is really good.
I'd like to get those things, you know, like when you're like at TJ Maxx and there's the really, really nice handbag and they have like that wire thing attached to it. So you can't walk away from the display. Mm-hmm. Like those for my couch cushions. Oh my gosh. So they're just like attached. So they can't end up on, I'm sure that's like some sort of a strangulation hazard for children, but wouldn't that be great if they could only go so far? Boing.
It would be great. My kids went to my mom's the other day and she's like, why do they throw all the couch cushions and pillows on the floor? I'm like, I don't know, mom.
It's like a compulsion.
I don't know. They just see it and they can't
in your drawers
help somewhere? Themselves. Yeah. They just have to rip the pillows off the couch and throw them on the floor. Ugh. Yeah.
Do we have time to get through these?
Yeah, we're fine. I think we're fine.
That's your department.
Okay. Here's another one that I thought about. Because one of my kids went to go get lotion from my purse today for his hands and he ripped it apart. Just like, where's your lotion? I will now empty your purse. When I bought this purse, the lady told me she has really sweet memories of her mom sitting down every Sunday night. She would sit down and she would clean out her purse. put receipts, file receipts away, throw away the used Kleenex, put in a new hanky, you know, organize the pins, make sure she has her cash where it needs to be, put her change in her change purse, whatever it is. A habit versus constantly feeling the under the surface tension of taking your purse and having crap in it.
Yeah.
And having it be disorganized chaos. And all it takes is 2.5 minutes.
Right.
2.5 minutes a week to sort it out. Same for your makeup bag.
Okay. Can we talk about this? Makeup gets so gross.
Disgusting.
It just, every time you get new makeup, do you have like a moment where you're like, now this is not this one. This is the one I keep nice. Mm-hmm. This is the one that the mirror doesn't get all covered in eyeshadow and the crumbs don't end up on the bottom of my makeup bag or wherever.
Yep.
This is the Sephora run that's going to be.
Yep.
Nice.
This is it.
This doesn't happen. Yeah, the makeup bag, I have like a little dressing table where all my makeup is. And I have a 7-year-old future makeup artist.
So it stays really clean.
Well, that's the rules. Like you can use my makeup, but you have to tidy it up. So she lines everything up and organizes it, puts it in different places that I don't know where it is then. Mm-hmm. So I'll be getting ready in the morning, like, where's my brow pomade? Mm-hmm. Where is it? You know, and it's right there in front of me, but it's just 5 inches away. But makeup just gets disgusting. And I think it's the same thing, or maybe not every week, but maybe every other week. Just soak a little towel, towel and Windex, give it all a wipe down. Open up the compacts, blow them out, clean off the mirror. And for the love, wash your makeup brushes.
Please. Wash your makeup brushes. Do you have I know you just said that you kind of keep things out, but I have like, I'm one of those horrible people that have, you know, I have a makeup bag like this big. It's teeny tiny. And I shove a bunch of stuff in it so I can't zip it. Duh.
Right.
And I am not as nice as you. I'm like, if anyone touches my makeup, you're dead.
See, I'm that way. Dead meat. Purse. Like in our house, like Joel doesn't touch my purse. No one touches the purse. You don't. I grew up that way. I don't know if it's just like this thing, but like,
yeah,
you don't go in mom's purse.
Yeah.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. That's how I am with my makeup.
Okay.
Pretty hardcore. So I like the idea of being able to put it away, having little spaces for all my brushes, zipping it up and like setting it aside for the day. You know, like it's not out for the taking.
All right.
And this has gotten better actually, even just since moving our room downstairs, because out of sight, out of mind. But that's on my list too, is to just get an appropriate makeup bag for storing the amount of makeup that you have.
Yeah. I just use them for travel. I grab one for, and then I throw in the, because I have more makeup than I wear.
Yeah.
And so but I have like the key pieces that I wear every day. And then that's what I will throw in the makeup bag for traveling. But I don't like how gungy the bottom of a makeup bag gets for every day. So I have like a little acrylic, like try canister thing. And like ones for brushes and ones for liners. And I keep, I collect all those old chocolate tins. So I have a really pretty chocolate tin. And that's what I keep the other stuff in.
Gotcha.
On my table.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Keep a little tin where you can keep some of that stuff in. Regardless of how you keep your purse or how you keep your makeup, just take 10 minutes right now and go clean it. Throw away stuff that no longer is necessary for your face.
Old mascara.
Or your purse. Don't old stop. Mascara.
Please stop keeping old mascara.
Yeah.
So gross. It gets so much bacteria. Just treat yourself to a new one. Like, how often do you buy a new mascara? Or do you let it get really nasty?
Every 6 months, probably. I don't know. I only use one coat a day. I don't know. I don't go through it very quickly.
Crazy talk. Okay.
I don't know. I don't go through that quickly. Okay. Here's my next one. Homemakers, if you are on a budget, totally fine. Go scrounge up a pot from somewhere. If you're not as tight of a budget, go get a pot, put some flowers in it, go like plant some flowers. And put it outside your door and then sweep off your front porch. I cleaned my front porch off yesterday because I was filming for the cooking community. So I had an order of food coming and I was like, if anyone sees my porch, I'm going to die. I was so embarrassed. There was a bucket of chicken food that like the kids had been stirring with sticks. They had done sidewalk chalk on the entrance into the kitchen. There was 3 pairs of coveralls, 2 coats, 6 pairs of shoes, pruners, empty plant containers, a bag of garbage that chickens had gotten into. So it was strewn all over. And I just was like, you cannot go on like this. Stop it. And you know how long it took me to clean it all up? 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes. I hosed it down. I put all the stuff away. I moved one of my pots over so that it was right by my kitchen door. Ta-da. So simple. But we tend to neglect our porches, our front areas. But that's how we enter our homes. And that's how other people enter our homes. And it really does matter. Go buy some cheap little pansies or something, a little terracotta. It can be small. And just put it by your door, sweep off your front porch, throw away those old cardboard boxes that you've been meaning to take to the recycling, and just straighten it out a bit.
Okay. I totally feel you here.
Okay.
I'm wondering if like people listening are like, that's crazy. I mean, I think if you live in suburbia, is it different? Cause like we're pretty trashy. Like there's a bucket of poop covered eggs. There are boots covered in cow manure. There's cardboard. Like you said, I have to like every couple of days, just do exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It gets so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like,
I think for most,
open the door, set something.
Yeah. I think for most people, it's their garage in suburbia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's really bad though.
Yeah.
It's just, and sweeping it, like just get the
sweep
broom. That's one of the first things I do in the spring is I step outside because I do decorate. I have big olive pots by my back door, front door, whatever it is. And they're decorated in like birch twigs and dogwood and branches. Mm-hmm. And then by spring, those are all dead and they're everywhere in the stones and everything. So I clean all that out and just broom all the corners. It just makes such a difference. Takes a few minutes and then get out the Windex, clean the glass on your door. And in my case, and maybe if you have small children, get out the Mr. Clean and clean off the door.
3 feet and below Holy is what I call cow. It.
Uh-huh. Mine looks like a body exploded on it or something. So bad. Like they just must play in the mud and then rub the door down.
Yeah.
Before they open it. Yeah.
Yeah. Really bad. What door, the outside of doors in particular, it's not something you think about cleaning. But they do get dirty.
I do that all around the house, though, with the Mr. Clean, because the casing and the wall and the door, like all at that
3 and below
person level. Just this will.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that actually kind of segues into the next one, which is set aside a few hours. This one's going to take you a little bit longer, but it's practically free and you can do it right now. And that's wash your windows. Just take the time to wash your windows. Our windows get so bad here. Here's how I do it. I fill a bucket with hot, soapy water with a few drops of lemon essential oil because it really does help to dissolve the crud and a bunch of vinegar. And then I take like a scrubbing sponge, you know, like one of those mean ones. And I dip it and I actually scrub the windows. So like all the squished fly guts and hard water from the sprinklers outside, all these kinds of things. I actually scrub the window. Then I wipe it off and then I clean it with glass cleaner. If you just do it with glass cleaner, it takes so many times, at least my windows, it does. And so I like to break it up into rooms because it is a big task and we have huge windows in our living room, but I can just take the kitchen. I'm going to take an hour. I'm going to put on a podcast or put on some good music. I'm going to wash these windows inside and out. And holy cow, does it make a difference?
Oh yeah. It's a bigger project. I like to have the vacuum cleaner to clean out all the troughs.
And yes.
Scrub that part down. Here's how I do it. So I use warm soapy water, like you said,
yeah,
and rags. Dry it off. And then I use vinegar. And this is my grandma's tip. It works really good. And newspaper to clean.
Who has newspaper these days?
You just get it. Just get a newspaper.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't even know where one gets a newspaper.
Give me a break. Don't be.
I'm serious. But yes, I mean, I used to do this. So yes, that's what my mom used to use. Streaks, yeah. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
If you want to go hardcore, like take the screens out. And I do use a scrub brush on the screens and soapy water because my screens are gross after winter. Mm-hmm.
We actually take ours off in the winter and then put them back on in the spring because we're at that stage of spring now where every time I open the window, Stu's like, stop, the flies are going to come in. I'm like, chill out. It's April. Calm down. But, you know, we'll get it. Wash your windows. Wash your windows. Practically free. Huge boost to your home. And here's one just for the ladies. Go order you some new socks and underwear and a bra.
Right now. Just hop on Amazon. Just do it really quick. Take you 4 minutes.
Do it really quick. Spend $14 on a new pack of little white footy shoes.
Yeah. Whatever it takes.
Go buy some new underwear. Just, this is one of those things to me where I'm like, what? I bought it once. Why? I shouldn't have to buy it again. I bought socks 2 Decembers ago. Like, right. What gives? And then you realize, oh, you worn each of these once a week for 2 years. You have holes in them. They're stained. They're disgusting. Like, you know how bras just over time, they just lose their structure and shape.
Yeah, they get concave. They get dimples.
Yeah. So and like the straps get all kind of stretched out and stupid. And ooh, I just bought a new bra and it's not here yet, but it was from a brand called Pepper and it's for the itty bitty committee ladies.
Is that what they call it? Or did you just
the IBTC? That? No, that's what they say. The IBTC crew. It's literally, they only make up to size B. Double A, and B.
It's fantastic.
Designed for women with small chests. And I am so excited because here's what a lot of people do. I've been guilty of this. For those of us in the IBTC crew, they add a bunch of padding because they're like, oh, you're small. You want to be bigger. So we're going to add a bunch of padding, which basically just means all your bras fit terrible. Mm-hmm. Because you're swimming upstream, you're fighting against nature. And if it's padding, it's not good. And you know, in that vein that we've been talking about of choosing your heart, I am choosing to just accept this, who I am. Okay. So instead of trying to mask that and make it something it's not, which is also hard, my hard now is going to be to charge forth with confidence as a member of the IBTC. So I'll let you guys know how it goes.
That's we'll see. Great.
Thank that you.
It's great.
Is your elbow okay? You keep grabbing it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. That's excellent.
Just go get some new socks and underwear and bras. Just do that.
I can't keep socks because my girls all steal them.
Oh, yeah.
Like I just bought 10 last month. They're gone.
Yep.
10 pair.
Yep.
It's just like a staple every month at Costco. Socks. Socks.
More socks.
More socks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about things that we can do right now to help our homes, to help ourselves, then I'll venture just a little bit further on that one. I know we're getting close on time, but I'll venture a little further and just go shave your legs. Go shave your armpits, go shave your legs, go clip your toenails, paint them if you're into that thing. Like do a little womanscaping. Okay. Do that so that when you put your new underwear on, you feel better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Do that. We actually got this. I'm going to see if I can open it. We got the sweetest comment from somebody. Let me see if I can. I put it in that document that I tried to share with you.
Oh, yeah. I had to enter a code. The code wouldn't work. I tried 4 times.
I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to work. But basically, she was saying she listened to the podcast. She was super encouraged by it. She put on just a little bit of makeup, an amount that felt right for her. She did her hair. She's like, I put on some of my nicer clothes. And she said, my husband actually snuck a picture of me and told me that I looked really beautiful. And she said, and then I had a friend visit who told me the same thing. And she said, I am boiling over with gratitude just for the reminder to just do the little things. And you know, it's, I'm not saying makeup makes you beautiful, new underwear make you beautiful. I'm saying when we feel good in our skin, we feel better. We feel more confident. We feel more assured of ourselves in our homes. And people notice that. And people notice when you put the effort in.
Yeah. And it's sadly, it's a culture that doesn't necessarily value the homemaker. And the stereotype is that she's a hot mess. Mm-hmm. Her legs are hairy. Her underwear's worn out. You know, mm-hmm.
She hasn't showered in 6 days.
Husband's flannel shirt. She doesn't have time to bathe. You know, mm-hmm. it's, and that's just like, that's, I think it's been fabricated, but adopted by a lot of people because it's easier.
It's way easier.
Way easier. And we are, I feel like on the show, we're just always wanting to encourage each other mm-hmm. and our listeners to maintain your dignity.
Yeah.
You have a very dignified position in the world as a homemaker.
Mm-hmm. And very much so. Mm-hmm. And when you wear new underwear, you feel better.
You're dignified.
You're dignified.
Speaking of maintaining your dignity, this last one. Have you ever had somebody come over and lose something in your couch or lose something like sitting on your sofa and they've had to take the cushions off to look for it?
It's never happened to me.
That can be an awkward moment. Okay. So this is something you can do. It only takes a little bit of time. Clean up your furniture. Mm. Get the stain out. Get out the Mr. Clean. Take the cushions off, give a quick vacuum mm-hmm. to the under part, take the throw pillows, spray them with Shout. We talked about that on the laundry episode. Throw them in the washing machine, get out all the coins and the Nerf bullets and the hairbrushes and the Lego friends and mm-hmm. and everything. And make sure that what's going on underneath is tidy mm-hmm. because God forbid it get revealed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So awful.
Yes, do that. And then spray them with like a little bit of a, you know, essential oil spray or a room freshener of sorts. Spray with your perfume. I don't care. Just perk them up a little bit because new furniture is expensive and it's, you know, few and far between the times that the homemaker gets to bring a really new piece into her home. Most of her time is actually just spent caring for what she has.
Right.
You know, and again, pointing at ourselves here, Angela and I both have, you know, well-loved furniture, shall we say. We're not quite at the arrival point of life yet where we're actually investing in real furniture.
No.
A lot of it's thrifted. A lot of it is, you know,
Threadbare,
second and third hand, mm-hmm. or even just kind of like the crappy furniture that gets you by. You know, we've carried some pieces through for a lot of our marriage. Mm-hmm. And while I dream of what I will buy when I'm finally ready to invest in the right pieces, taking care of what I have now does help me to love it more, to have a better gratitude, deeper gratitude for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true of all the things we've mentioned today.
Yeah. And I think I've noticed, you know, when I'm cleaning the house and like doing something like this, you don't realize how bad it is until you get in and mm-hmm. to it. And then you realize, oh, my sofa doesn't have to look so bad. The pillows don't have to look so mangy. They're just covered in body oil. They just need to be cleaned.
Yep. Yeah. Just clean it up. Well, we hope that this has encouraged you to get into your home, to get your hands dirty today, to put your hand to something, to beautify your home, to help you find more pride in it, more joy in it, to lift it up for you. And for the people who come to visit your home, whether it's your family or your friends, or even just yourself. And this is all stuff I'm going to spend the next 3 days doing,
right?
So this is my last like work thing I need to do for the working week. So the second half of Thursday, I'm actually taking my boys to get them some fresh clothes because they look so horrible right now. It's like they took Edward Scissorhands, came into their closet and was just like, rah! Shredded everything. They need haircuts really badly. So the second half of today is filed away for taking care of some of those things. And then Friday and Saturday, it is game on in the house. Aww. This is the day for like ironing linens, for vacuuming the furniture, for deep cleaning the kitchen, just like all these things. So this helps me to actually have a way forward.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get my kids cleaned up. We have a new clippers here because I do cut my boys' hair. And then I'm headed out of town to try to get everything in order today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll be gone.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Well, I guess we'll meet back here on Monday morning then.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Do visit us for Ultra Feminine Friday tomorrow over on Instagram, where our name over there is at Homemaker Chic. No. Yeah. @ Homemaker Chic Podcast over on Instagram. Share with us what Ultra Feminine Friday looks like for you, where you are at right now. And thank you to our sponsors, cook.theelliothomestead.com to find more inspiration in the kitchen. And of course, make sure you get in on that Dry Farm special, dryfarmwines.com/homemakerschicrosé. And that link goes live tomorrow, April 16th. And you can get in on that special rosé package for spring.
And for those of you that like to check things off a list, head on over to Patreon and become a patron. Grab your printable of everything we talked about today.
Yes. Okay. We'll see you guys on Monday. Cheers.
Cheers.